Torah.
Let's learn some Torah. We're discussing Shatnez. We mentioned this is going to be a three-part series. So last week we spoke about what is Shatnez, and this week I want to talk about what is considered wearing Shatnez. Now, when I speak about what's considered wearing Shatnez, we have to be precise. There are really two pesukim in the Torah. The pesuk in the Torah in Vayikra says, "Eskukos haytishmor behem tchalos serbiya kila ayim sod tchalos tizra kila ayim begi kolam Shatnez lo ya'ale olecha." The Gemara, the pasuk says that lo ya'ale olecha, which means that you should not put the shatnez on top of you. It does not say you should not wear the shatnez. The pasuk in Kisetze says lo silba shatnez, that you should not wear shatnez. So there are two different pasuk in the Torah. One says don't put shatnez on top of you. The other says don't wear shatnez. Now what this means basically is if you go to the Gemara here in Yevamis, we'll get back to the sources. You probably figured this out already, that I tend not to go in order of my source sheets. But the Gemara in Yevamis on Daf Dalet, it's also found in the Midrash Halacha in the Sifrei, in Devarim, although there are slight nuanced differences. The Gemara says, "Ahani mitzvah tzrichi, I need two different psukim. Dikas rachman lo ya'ala alacha avamina, koder chala osa rachmana, afilo mochre ksus. Kas rachman lo tilba shatneiz dumya de lavisha de isba hanoa." Because Rachman lo tilba shamin davka lo visha de nafesh hanayasa v'halo lo kasa Rachman lo yalo lecha. Zok the Gemara, that there are two psukim of lo silbash and lo ya'alo alecha, which basically teach me that, you know what, there are two forms of shatnez, but they both have to be similar. Levisha means I wear shatnez. And there's a lot of hana'a that you get. You know, you put on a jacket, right, you put on a shatnez coat, there's a lot of hana'a. Ha'ala'a, if I just use a blanket with shatnez, I just put shatnez on top of me, I wear like a shatnez poncho, a shatnez cape, or something. Ha'ala'a, the Gemara says, it has to be like levisha, in the sense of it has to warm you up a bit. The definition of clothing in the Gemara, interestingly, is that clothing warms you up. That's a definition. Alternatively, clothing protects you from the elements. Right? Let's say it's hailing outside, so the clothing protects you from that. So clothing keeps you warm, right? Or clothing doesn't let you get cold, right? That's what clothing means. Ha'ala'a also has to involve some sort of warming you up. In other words, if I have a blanket that I put on me, and the blanket does not warm me up at all, that is not the prohibition of shatnez. Shatnez means, both in the levisha sense and in the ha'ala'a sense, we're comparing them, that they have to warm you up. That's the definition of shatnez. Now, what this really means is, and the Rambam teaches us this in a few places, this means that the Torah has two psukim, two different words, but they really mean the same thing. In other words, we're saying that levisha sheds light on ha'ala'a. Ha'ala'a sheds light on levisha. Wearing and just draping it over you, they shed light on each other, meaning they are both forbidden, but they're really the same prohibition. The prohibition is shatnez. Whether I drape it on me or I wear it, it's the same prohibition. That's what the Rambam, for example, writes. That if a person wears shatnez, you only get one set of lashes. By the way, don't try this. Don't wear shatnez. If you wear shatnez, you're not going to get two sets of lashes for violating the two psukim of levisha and ha'ala'a. It's only one set. That's what the Rambam says. Effectively, there is one prohibition that's phrased two different ways, and they shed light on each other. Yes?
In every Gedolim biography I've ever read, the great rabbi as a young man is going to visit his girlfriend, and he takes a train, and he stands the entire way because he doesn't want to sit down.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Actually, I was not planning on talking about it, but you asked me a question, so I have to. There's a story of various Gedolim that they would not sit on. I remember when I was in Russia, actually. It wasn't in Russia, I was in Moldova, which is near Russia. So there was this little Russian car that they drove us around in, and one of the guys in the camp, one of the counselors, was like super frum. He says, like, you know, you're not allowed to sit on the chairs because maybe they are shatnez. Like, now...
Why would you sit on the chairs?
Why do they assume that? Shatnez, so it happens that the old Russian cars would use reprocessed fibers in their seats. Reprocessed fibers means basically they take all the junk that they could find in the factory and they stuff it in as the pillows in the car. Are you allowed to sit on shatnez? So the story goes like this. The Gemara has a prohibition that if it is soft shatnez, it's an iser d'rabbanan, if the shatnez is like a soft thing, we're worried, shema yichrach nima. Right? Let's say I even have, remember the children's story, the princess and the pea?
Yes.
There's like 10 different mattresses. How many mattresses were there?
Nine.
What?
A lot.
A lot. More than one. Right? So that the princess and the pea is relevant for hilchos shatnez. If I have a bunch of different mattresses, and at the bottom there's a little bit of shatnez, if it's like soft shatnez that you could wrap, so the Gemara says that there's an iser to even be on the top mattress, shema yikarech nima. Maybe you're going to wrap it on you. If it's like hard shatnez, then the prohibition doesn't apply. In the chairs, in the seat cushions, most assume that it's considered like hard shatnez. It's not possible to wrap, but it's all sewed in. Most poskim are mako on sitting on it if it's hard shatnez. However, let's say I have a carpet that's made out of shatnez, and the carpet has like those fibers. Are any carpets made out of shatnez? Have no idea. Right? But if you have a carpet that's made out of shatnez, so if there's like the fibers that would maybe go over my feet a little bit, if it's like soft, so in that case, this Gezerah D'Rabbanan that the Gemara in Beitza Yudalat Tesvav mentions, that Gezerah would apply. There is a discussion in Poskim. Some Poskim say, you know what, but this Gezerah of Shema Yikarech Nima is only if it's directly on my body. If it's on top of my clothing, maybe it doesn't apply. So do you have to be worried that you'll walk on the carpet without socks? I'm not taking a show of hands, but my understanding is that many people actually walk on their carpets without any socks, correct? Julian, you don't. Okay.
So,
but my understanding is that some people always wear shoes. Some people never wear shoes at home, no? But okay, so that's the basic story. Now, shatnez means that the wool and linen are together. One of the questions that comes up sometimes is on Yom Kippur, the wool and linen are attached together.
I'm sorry, if this, let's say, so why was there a problem of sitting on the, if you're wearing pants?
So some of the posts can say if you're wearing pants, it's only be a problem because maybe you'll wear shorts. Or sometimes people sit down without anything on them. The iser of this gezerah is only if it's directly on the body. By the way, something that protects you from the elements is not necessarily considered clothing halachically. It's only clothing if it touches you. For example, let's say I have a tent that's made out of shatnez, no? So most people don't actually touch the top of their tent. Right? It's not touching you, so that's going to be permitted. That's befeirish in the Rambam that is permitted. Let's go on. A few years ago in Yom Kippur, I suddenly began to have a panic attack. It's not because of all of my averis, which is probably the real reason to have a panic attack in Yom Kippur, but I had a panic attack because I realized that my kittel is made out of linen, and I have a suit. My suit is wool. So that means I have wool and linen right on top of the other. I begin to panic. I'm like, ah, shatnez. Panic attack. So I was still, this is before I was in Mount Sinai. I was still dying in the YU-based medrash. So I walked over to Rav Schechter, right, with all my nervousness. And he's like, no, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's permitted if you can get the bottom off without taking off the top. Meaning, if I have a kittel, it's linen, and my pants are wool. So, okay, I don't want to burst anyone's bubble. You can get your pants off without taking off the kittel, right? So far, so good. What about wearing a kittel on top of a jacket? Can you get the jacket off without removing the kittel? So, by the way, this is all found here in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin.
Why do you have to?
So it technically is possible to do this. I would probably pull my arm out if I would try it. But basically what you could do is you could hold one sleeve and bend out. It is theoretically possible to get...
Why would you have to take the jacket off?
So the halacha is that the shatnez is considered attached if you can't get the bottom off without the top.
Oh,
the
I
wool
see.
And the linen are attached if I can't remove my wool jacket right, without first removing the linen. So therefore, the only way you can permit the shatnez, or this Isser Drabanan of shatnez, if what's it called? If you're wearing a linen, if you're wearing a linen kittel on top of your suit, is if you could get the suit off underneath the linen kittel. That is the technical halacha. Now, this halacha is actually two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Here, look at the Ramah, the second source, third source on this page. Yesh Omrim. It's three lines from the bottom of the source that says Se'iftal, and this is found in Shulchan Aruch Simin Shin Se'iftal. And the Ramah writes Yesh Omrim to Asir Lobosh Beis Batei Shukayim Echad Shel Pishtan VeEchad Shel Tzemer. Some say you cannot wear two socks, one wool sock on top of a linen sock. Zu al zu Demei Achar Di Efshar Lefshot HaTachtona Berli HaElyona. Heavy kachibor. Since you can't get the bottom sock, okay, if you think about this, it's going to make you dizzy, so don't think about it. But it's impossible to get the bottom sock off without first removing the top sock. Unless you have a hole in the sock. Oh. But since you can't get the bottom sock off without the top sock, therefore they are considered attached. And it's not like velo domila beis chalukim zu al zu, de'ef shalusha tatachtan below ha'elyon. Right, but two shirts, one on top of the other, you can remove the bottom one without the top. But nonetheless, the Ramah concludes, V'nachon li zaher, you should be careful, don't do it. In other words, the Ramah says that this thing that I was nervous about on Yom Kippur, it's good to be nervous. You should not wear linen on top of wool. Don't do it. Now the Shach writes that in the Minhag Ka'olam is that we wear a linen kittel on top of our wool suits. But the Ramah says, Nachon li zaher, that you should be careful. There was a very good Jew, once upon a time, who was machmir on this, no? There is a tradition that Elijah Kramer of Vilna, Elijah Kramer is the Vilna Gaon. He lived 1720 to 1797. Rumor has it he was quite smart. So the Vilna Gaon used to wear, I have a talus cotton. My talus cotton is wool. Most men who wear a talus cotton try to wear a wool talus cotton because there are opinions that only wool and linen is obligated in tzitzis according to Torah law. But if I have cotton, it's not obligated in tzitzis according to Torah law. Cotton, in some ways, is more comfortable in the summer rather than wool because, let's be honest, wool sweats and like it makes you hot and whatever. But some people, very firm, orthodox, right? The Mishnah Berurah recommends that you do this. They wear only wool, tzitzis, not cotton. Elijah Kramer, who was known for his chumras, would wear cotton tzitzis. And in the book Maisa Rav about the Gra, they quote over here that the Gra said, Lovesh hu mitachas begadav ke'en talus gadol mibeged shel tzemer gefen. The Gra would not wear like what we have as a talus cotton. He'd wear like a talus gadol, a big talus under his clothing, was made out of cotton. And everyone jumps up and down, they spit wooden nickels, and they ask, why is the Gra wearing cotton tzitzis? So there's a number of approaches. They say, well, the Gra used to wear his big wooden nickels. Thank you, Julian. You were waiting just for that line. Thank you so much. Okay. Is this your lucky number?
I have no idea.
That's really cute. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate it. Now, I never saw one. Thank you. Here, you want it back?
No.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So now.
It's a ribbon.
Now, how come the Gra is wearing a cotton talus cotton instead of a wool talus one? So some say, well, the Gra would wear a big talus all day. So he has one wool one. He also wanted one cotton one. But others say, no. The reason why the Gra wore cotton tzitzis is because he had a linen shirt. And the Gra was worried, even though technically, by the way, I could get my tzitzis off, right?
Yeah.
Right? You can get it off. By the way, the post can say you can just unbutton one or two buttons and then it'll come off. I can get my tzitzis off. It's possible. But the Gra wanted to be machmir, like the opinion in the Ramah, that you should be careful about not having wool on top of linen. Therefore, he wore katan tzitzis. Very nice. Okay, let's go on. What is considered wearing shatnez together? So there are, there's a contradiction in two Mishnayos. Let's say I wear something, and my intention is not for it to keep me warm. Is that halachically considered wearing?
You're trying on a suit.
I'm trying on a suit, right? Well, we'll discuss trying on a suit in a few minutes. That's like the punchline. But before we get to trying on the suit, there are cases. Let's say the government has a rule that you have to pay a garment tax. But you only pay a garment tax on the garments that you have at home. Anything you're wearing, you don't pay the garment tax on. Right? For example, I actually heard a number of stories about people who are running away in the Holocaust, and they'd like wear all of as much clothing as they could. They just pile it on, and there's a big gadol a number of years ago. I used to wear like 100 pairs of tzitzis. Yes. Right? Like, so that's what people would do. Like, you pile all this stuff on to avoid the tax. So it says in the Mishnah, in the ninth parak of Kil'ayim, here, let's read, it's the last line of the Mishnah. V'lo yilbash kil'ayim afilo agabe asara, afilo ligno v'samecha. So you're not allowed to wear shatnez, even if it is on top of 10 other garments, and even if what you're trying to do is avoid taxes. Still, don't wear shatnez. Now, if I'm wearing the shatnez on top of 10 garments, so it probably is not really contributing anything to my warmth, because, let's be honest, you're schwitzing like the Rebbe without it, right? So, it's not really contributing anything. Nonetheless, you shouldn't do it. And nonetheless, you should not wear shatnez to avoid the taxes. However, the next Mishnah says that mochrei ksus, it does not speak about Caroline's case of one who's buying a suit, but the fellow who sells suits. So the fellow who sells suits, the Mishnah says, is allowed to sell the suits, providing that you don't have intention for it to keep you warm or for it to... Right? So I'm allowed to put on the suit, right? Apparently the sale... Does anyone ever remember anyone doing this? Like, I don't know. But the model, right? So I put it on, right? And I like, you know... Yeshivish 2019, right? Like you like do a whole thing. Why, right? Why am I allowed to do that? I'm allowed to do that because my intention is not to warm me up. My intention is to get you to wanna buy the suit. Or I want to show, oh, this is a beautiful size 38 jacket, right? You see, size 38 fits beautifully. Whatever, that type of thing.
They seem to discuss one function of clothing, which is warmth, but there's also modesty, right?
Okay. So now the only conversation we are having, and we'll have to elaborate in a few minutes, is the function of clothing is warmth. That's what the Gemara in Yevamah said. Clothing warms me up. There are lots of other functions, right? Clothing also is for modesty. Clothing is also to make me look good. Right? But those functions are clothing we are not discussing. But in the context of warmth, which is the only conversation, there is a contradiction in two sources. One source says that you're not allowed to wear shatnez, even though your intention is not to warm you up. Just avoid taxes. Don't wear the shatnez. The other source says that, you know what? As long as your intention is not to warm you up, you're allowed to wear shatnez. Contradiction in two sources. So there are, whenever you have a contradiction, right, introductions in Judaism, there are lots of different approaches. So one approach is the Rush. And this is found in the Rush and in the Rash. It's found in like the classic Ashkenazi Mefarshim on the Mishnah. The Rush writes over here, Kasavar davar sheino miskaven oser, upliga masnisin do kamon, that moichrei ksus mochrin kedargon. The Rav says that there is a dispute. It's a machlokas. Two different opinions. All right? It's on the sort page one. It says, Perish HaRasham. It's like four, three, right? So the Rav says that there are two different sources. Because Savar, one Mishnah holds Zavar Sheinu Miskaven is permitted. Another Mishnah holds Zavar Sheinu Miskaven is forbidden. That's what the Rav says. Right? In other words,
There's a well-known dispute, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, throughout Shas, whether something, if I do something and I don't intend to do it, is it permitted or forbidden? Says the Rush, those are the two Mishnayos. Beautiful Rush. Now, of course, there's a problem. Throughout Judaism, we know that one category is called Dovar She'eino Miskaven. Dovar She'eino Miskaven means I do action A, and I don't intend for action B to happen, but it may or may not happen. Right? So I wear the jacket. I'm not intending for it to warm me up. It may or may not warm me up. But there's another category called Psik Reisha. Psik Reisha means I do action A, and action A inevitably leads to action B. It's gonna happen. So everyone jumps up and down, and right there, right? Everyone right, asks the question, what do I mean? This is not a Dovar She'eino Miskaven, this is a Psik Reisha, and that is a bomb question. And in fact, this question is so powerful that there is one major Rishon. The Ran tells us in Maseches Chulin, Daf Lamed Beis, B'Dafei Harif, the Ran says, you know what? The category of Psik Reisha is not formulated by Yisurei Hana'a. A famous Ran, like we could discuss it like forever. It's like an amazing idea. But the Ran says Psik Reisha doesn't matter over here. Now, the Balei HaTosfos disagree with this, but for our purposes now, let's inhale. Let's enjoy this question, and we'll hold it, and we'll come back to it later. Right? I think we're allowed to talk about inhaling now, because like there's a candidate for President of the United States who mentioned that she actually inhaled. No? Unbelievable. Right? Okay, so one approach is just that it's a dispute. The problem is, if I have the same authority who quotes both Mishnayos, I can't say that there's a dispute. And this is what happens when I read the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Tes Zayin. The Rambam writes that Mochrei Ksus are allowed to sell it as long as they don't have kavana for the son, etc. Right? Bahatznuim, if you're very frum, so you don't even put the jacket on, you sell it by just having like a stick that holds the jacket up. That's the tznuim. Those are the very frum people. That's what the Rambam says. So the Rambam Halacha Tes Zayin says as long as you don't have kavana, it's permitted. But then in Halacha Yud Ches, let's skip Yud Zayin for a minute, Halacha Yud Ches, the Rambam writes, don't wear kelayim even on top of 10 clothing, right? And it doesn't give you any benefit. And even to avoid taxes, don't wear the kelayim. And if you did wear the kelayim that way, you get malchus. You get lashes. That means that the Rambam is telling me, right, that you're going to get lashes if you wear shatnez to avoid taxes. My intention is not to have the shatnez warm me up. It's just I don't want to pay taxes. By the way, no one wants to pay taxes, right? Who would guess? Right? You don't think you have a sense of civic responsibility? You want to help? Right? People don't want to pay taxes. Unbelievable, right? But the Rambam says, the Rambam contradicts himself. In Halacha Tes Zayin, the Rambam says, if you don't have kavanah, it's permitted. But in Halacha Yud Ches, the Rambam says, if you don't have kavanah, it is forbidden. This is a contradiction in the Rambam. So, there are a number of approaches. The Kesef Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Joseph Karel, who lived from 1486 until 1576, right? He lived for 90 years, right? It's interesting. The Mechaber died after the Ramah. The Ramah died in 1572. The Mechaber died in 1576. Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Kesef Mishnah, the Mechaber, he says, you know what? There's a difference between wearing kelayim, wearing shatnez, and just draping the shatnez on you. The Kesef Mishnah says that when the Rambam is talking about how if I don't have intention for it to warm me up, it's permitted, that's about when I sew a jacket. And he says, you know what, when you sew a jacket, you don't like put the jacket on, you just drape it over you. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. But if you actually put it on, then it's forbidden. The Kesef Mishnah doesn't use terms psik reisha or anything. You can look at the Kesef Mishnah in Halacha Yud Ches. Kesef Mishnah seems like he is saying that there's a difference between Levisha and Ha'ala'a, which would go against everything we said right at the beginning. Because we said at the beginning, for the Rambam, Levisha and Ha'ala'a are the same thing, Right? That's how you only get one set of lashes if you wear it. So what's going on here? So, it's a difficult Kesef Mishnah. Some suggest that maybe what the Kesef Mishnah means is as follows. And this is
what Rabbi Ashen was just noting. That maybe the Kesef Mishnah is saying, you know what, when I wear a suit, so that's a psik resha, you're for sure going to get hanocha. But if you drape it on you, maybe you will, maybe you won't get hanocha. So maybe that's a distinction in the Kesef Mishnah. It's hard to know exactly what he means, but what can we do? The Shach, like the same contradiction appears in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shach has a different approach. By the way, we know the Shach is the coolest person ever, right? The Shach lived 16... I just wrote an article about the Shach, and I made a typo. I wrote the Shach lived from 1621 till 1622. So somebody wrote back to me, it's like, the Shach is like really smart, but he lived more than 1 year. Agreed. The Shach lived 1621 till 1662. Right? That's the Shach. Now, the Shach says that, you know what, we're misunderstanding the case of the taxes. When I want to avoid taxes, how do I avoid taxes? I avoid taxes because I'm wearing the clothing. And the government has a law that whenever you wear clothing, you don't have to pay the taxes. So that means what I want to do is I want to wear the clothing. Right? I'm wearing it because that's what I want. As opposed to in the case where I am trying the jacket on. So in that case, I don't really want to try it on. I just want you to buy it. I don't want to get warm. In the case of the taxes, I want it to warm me up. I want to wear it the normal way because that's the only way I avoid my taxes. But in the case of trying the suit on, so in that case, the Shach says, you know what, over there, you don't really intend for it to heat you up at all. That's not what you want. Effectively, I think what the Shach is distinguishing is what we would call in halacha the difference between psik resha de nichalei and psik resha de lo nichalei. In the case of selling the jacket, so in that case, I don't really want it to heat me up. I just want you to buy it. It's a totally different reason. But over here, the only way, by the taxes, the only way I get off of taxes is because I'm wearing the jacket, therefore I want to wear it, therefore I'm not exempt. That is the Shach's answer. Now,
there's no ethical issue with evading taxes.
Okay, so the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Kuf Yud Gimel speaks about, isn't there an ethical issue of evading taxes? So the Gemara says, we're talking about someone who is a Muchas Ha'omen Me'elav. Right? That the tax collector was not appointed by the government. The tax collector decided on his own. I am here to collect your taxes. Pay up.
That's a
guy. Right? So the guy's The guy's a ganav, he's a robber, he's abandoned, he's a jerk. All of the above, right? Check, box E. Right? All of the above, that's what it is. Now effectively what we have is the following situation. Maybe I will skip two or three sources. Chochmas Adam, okay? Chochmas Adam in page 3 of these source sheets, the Chochmas on Klau Kuf Vav, letter Chaf. Maybe we'll come back to some of the other sources briefly. But the Chochmas Adam basically says that even though the Mishnah writes that you're allowed to wear shatnez to sell it, but you're not allowed to wear shatnez to try to buy it. So the Chochmas Adam, right? Guys here know Dashel. Dashel breathes the Chochmas Adam. So the Chochmas Adam assumes that I'm not allowed to wear shatnez to try to buy it. Here. Vinirately, right? It's 3 lines on the bottom of this Chochmas Adam. Vinirately, dilakuli alma usser imrotza leknoso. Velovsho lefisha aliros imhu kimidaso, share mechavein lelovsho. Velachin hakonim hakovim shikurin kaplushin. A kaplush is a hat. If I'm buying a hat, and those hats are sewn with shatnez, the old Russian hats are all shatnez, no? I spent that summer in Kishinev, so we went to a fur factory one time, and I bought 10 Russian hats. And I brought them back, and I had them checked for shatnez. Every one of them besides one had shatnas in it.
At least you got to keep one.
Huh? I got one. No, but in order to check these hats for shatnas, they rip the whole thing. They have to rip it apart.
So
it's like
they destroy it.
Pretty much.
So
it doesn't help all that much.
How did you bring it back to Russia?
How did I bring it back?
Yeah.
In my suitcase.
You went back to Russia?
What?
You checked it there.
I don't think anyone asked me about. Did I get a refund? No. I don't think anyone asked me at like customs. But basically, the Chochmah Sadim Reis, that when you buy a hat, which they call a kaplush, and it's sewn with shatnez, or clothing, you're not allowed to try it on to see that it's okay. So, whoa. Schwartz, what's going on here? So, there's a few things that are going on. We mentioned that the Rambam, as understood by the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam says if you're actually wearing something, there is no kula. There's no leniency because you don't have intention to get warmed up. Right? That's what the Rambam is on Subha the Kesef Mishnah said. The Kesef Mishnah says that the only time we have a leniency is if you drape it over yourself. But if you actually wear it, it's forbidden. So the Chochmas Adam is very firm. He feels that you should be machmir like that approach. Now, according to the Shah, I am allowed to wear it. But apparently, the Chochmas Adam I saw in the Tshuvas of the Shevet HaLevi, in Chelek Yerideya, Simen Kuf Samach Tes, the Shevet HaLevi writes that maybe trying it on to sell it is less of an issue than trying it on to buy it.
Well, who are you selling it to?
What?
Who are you selling it to?
Well, let's say I own a store.
Can you sell it to non-Jews?
I'm selling it to non-Jews, let's assume.
Okay?
A non-Jewish guy walks into the store, he wants me to try on the jacket to sell it to him. Selling it, I don't really have any intention to wear it, for real. I just want to show you that it fits. But when I try it on for me, what am I doing? I'm going to try it on, I'm going to look in the mirror. I'll button that button, you know, like, I want to get the feel of the suit. I want to see if it feels good. That's the normal way of wearing it. That's why the Chochmas Adam is machmir. Right? Now, the Minhag HaOlam clearly is that we try on shatnez, or we try on suits in the store before they're checked for shatnez. So, So the post, but it's a suffix d'oraisa.
Right, so
you shouldn't be allowed to do it. So the answer is, Rov is not shatnez, maybe. But maybe this is like a spec speka on Daraisa. Meaning to say, last week we spoke about that, according to Rashi, to be shatnez d'oraisa, it has to be that each thread has wool and linen together. Short of that, it's not shatnez d'oraisa, according to Rashi. Right? Maybe Rashi is right. Maybe it doesn't have any shatnez. Maybe, even though I'm wearing it, there is no prohibition of shatnez, because I'm just trying it on. So I put all these things together. That's why people are makel to try on suits. Although, right, the Chochmas Adam seems to be machmir. Okay, let me just tell one other story. This past summer, we were in L.A. We mentioned Dashiell's. We went for Dashiell's wedding. So, Shabbos Mincha, I'm in the Young Israel of Hancock Park. This guy walks over to me. He says, "Nice tie. By the way, it has shatnez in it." I'm like, "Who are you? Like, I don't know your name. You don't know who I am. Is this the way you say Shalom Aleichem to everybody?"
How do you know your tie brand?
What?
How do you know the brand of your tie?
So he told me, he actually calls me into like the side room. He says, "No, I'm a little bit embarrassed to say this, but I had exactly the same tie, and it was shatnez." So now, whoa. Let's go slowly, right? First of all, he wasn't 100% sure of shatnez. The tie was linen. It's a linen tie. Usually, if something is wool, it's more likely that it's sewn with linen, because linen is very strong. If it's a linen tie, it's less likely that it is sewn with any wool. Right? So, yeah, it's a linen tie. I look at it, but is it shatnez? I don't know. Next issue. Does a tie meet the prohibitions of shatnez? Now, let's go slowly. We mentioned that shatnez means it warms you up. according to the Rambam, even if it doesn't warm you up, if you're wearing it, it's still forbidden. At least according to the Kesef Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam. So according to that Kesef Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam, I have the tie on my neck, I'm wearing it, that would be a problem. Even if I have no intention for it to warm me up. Great. Now, one could argue, however, that a tie, does it provide any warmth? I'm not sure. Does a tie provide any warmth? Not sure. But is it considered a normal way of wearing something because it adds dignity? Yeah. Ties are more dignified. So is that a normal way? So the Gemara only spoke about heating up. The Gemara only spoke about that the definition of clothing is something that warms me. In Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Sefer, the Derech Amuna, in Hilchos Shatnez, it's in Perek Yod Ha'ara Kuf Tzadi Dalet, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says as follows. He asks the question, Beged of Kavod, is that considered Shatnez? So he brings a proof that maybe it's not a problem, a proof from a Tosfos. Actually, at the Chevra Kadisha breakfast this past Sunday, the speaker, this Isaac Pollack, made reference to this conversation. There's a whole discussion in the Balei HaTosfos, based on some earlier sources, though not necessarily Gemaras, about a practice that the Gemara says you're supposed to bury a dead guy with tzitzis on. You're supposed to put the tzitzis on when you bury the dead guy. Our practice is that we don't, we pass all the tzitzis, or in Eretz Yisrael, they take the talus off, stuff like that. Now, the question is, how come the dead guy, technically speaking, is allowed to wear shatnez?
He's dead.
So, he's dead. But he's gonna wake up. And,
oh!
Right? And when he wakes up, or she wakes up, we don't want them to be in their shatnez. So, the problem is that, and the Tosfos deal with this issue, we say that tachrich ha'metzis, no shatnez. Right? Tosfos asks, aye, but there's loeg l'rosh. Because I'm putting something that's usher on the dead guy. Right? I'm not supposed to wear my tzitzis in the cemetery because it insults the dead guy. Allah has kama v'kama. The dead guy shouldn't be wearing shatnez. So Tosfos quotes from the Rashbam that, you know what? The way dead guys wear shatnez is not forbidden at all. Because it doesn't warm him up at all. Because he is dead. Well, and when you are dead, you ain't getting warmer.
Well, when you're dead, you're not obligated in shatnez anyway. But
of loeg l'rosh, the concern that I'm not, that the dead guy shouldn't be around any sort of averas, right? Or I shouldn't do mitzvahs near the dead guy, right? Right? Yeah. Tosfos says that the concern is not a problem over here, because I'm allowed to wear shatnez. If the shatnez doesn't warm me up, so the dead guy can also wear shatnez because the shatnez is not warming him up.
No,
that's what Tosfos says.
I was talking about. I thought your point earlier was tachias hametzim.
Well, the Gemara discusses the tachias hametzim issue comes up also, but there's a bigger concern that Tosfos says. Even while he's in the ground, 6 feet under, right? By wearing shatnez, that's like an insult. Because, you're wearing shatnez because you're dead. If you'd be alive, you wouldn't be allowed to. Na-na-na-kish-kish. Right? That's the concern. So Tosfos asks the Kasha, how do we dress a dead guy in shatnez? So Tosfos answers, he quotes from the Rashbam, well, there's no na-na-na-kish-kish over here. Because even if you're alive, to wear a garment that provides no warmth isn't a problem. So the dead guy is allowed to wear the shatnez because it doesn't provide any warmth. So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, whoa, one second. So the shatnez doesn't provide you any warmth. Does it provide any dignity? Of course it does. Right? It's a very honorable way. You're wearing those burial shrouds. Hey, you look beautiful. Right? They dress you up all nicely. So, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you see from this Tosfos that wearing something that does not provide warmth, even though it provides dignity, is not considered a garment for the halachic purposes of shatness. And therefore, he argued that according to the opinion of the Shach within the Rambam, or according to the opinion of the Rush, right, that I'm allowed to wear something as long as it is for ulterior purposes. It's not for the purpose of warming me up. So it's allowed to wear a tie of shatness. Because I'm not wearing the tie to warm me up, I'm wearing the tie to add dignity and honor and respect, because I am Yetishamon, right? So I wear my tie in the bathtub, whatever it is. What? Lichobin and Sephoris, this week's publisher, right? So that's the idea. The idea is that it provides dignity, not warmth, and my kavana is not for warmth, even though it might end up providing warmth. But my kavana is for the dignity of it. So therefore, we could argue, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that there's no prohibition of shatness on the tie. Now, there is a sefer called the Gur Arya Yehuda. Right? It's on Hilchos Shatness. He asks who's wearing ties. He quotes in the Avnei Yashvei that ties of shatness is usur. But that's only because of this chumra that you hold like the Rambam, that wearing anything is a problem of shatness. But if you don't hold like the Rambam, if you hold that even though if you're wearing something, if you're wearing it for other purposes, it's not a problem, so it will be permitted. There's a whole discussion also that let's say I wear something only to save me from getting dirty. That's a Mishnah about like the barber's coat and stuff like that. Maybe we'll talk about that, but I think time is late. Question?
If the Kanima is able to warm you, so why should a tie not warm you if it's not directly on the body?
So that problem say that the nima, the bottom is warming me anyway. I was thinking about this. When I sleep on a cold stone floor, it's really cold. When you put a blanket down underneath you, it warms you up. Right? So you could be warmed up from the bottom. Right? So that's why it's a problem. If it's warming you up from the bottom and you might wrap it around the top, that's a problem. But the tie doesn't provide any warmth. No one wears ties for warmth.
What did you ask this fellow, by the way?
What?
Was your tie really shatness?
I never checked it.
What did you tell him?
What?
What
did you wear it again?
I wear it, yeah.
What did you go visit?
What? I'm not nervous about it because it's a linen tie.
What about the wooden suit? It's possible to take
the tie off
without a suit. That's not a problem.
What?
You have a woolen suit without a
linen
tie.
That's not a problem. Yeah. You can take it off without it. Okay. Again, there's much more to be said about like shatnez, but we'll break over here. I think next week I said I'd give the last year about shatnez. If people want, I could give much more than three shiur on shatnez, but are people like shatnez?
Yes.
So should we extend it to four shiurim? Okay, thank you.